Money Radio. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure for me to welcome Gary Carmel. He is president of CWS Capital Partners, has about 30 years' experience in the real estate investment market. He's a chartered financial analyst and has an MBA from the University of Southern California. He's also the author of a new book, The Philosophical Investor. The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Sinclair. Thanks for having me.
When it comes to creating wealth, we typically don't think of philosophers as being the first to create wealth. What led you down that path to think about wealth creation from a philosophical standpoint?
Well, I think there is sort of the traditional kind of tangible notion of wealth, which is, you know, very much in the financial realm. And I think studying philosophy actually is helpful in that regard. And then, you know, the subtitle of the book is Transforming Wisdom into Wealth, and it really goes beyond the financial realm, which philosophers are always talking about, you know, kind of nirvana and living a life well lived. And so what I have found that there's actually a pretty strong intersection between intelligent investing and intelligent living. And oftentimes, you know, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to investing. And it's very difficult for us to, subsume our emotions. We are subjected to bouts of fear and greed and envy. And often that will lead us to make the decisions of getting in the market or whatever investment it may be, really at the suboptimal time, buying at the high and selling at the low. And so when I study philosophy and history, and I talk a lot about Charlie Munger in the book, and he said, to the man with a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, so it's important to have a lot of tools in your toolbox. And I use the analogy of Odysseus from the Odyssey tying himself to the mast. When the sirens were calling, he knew he was not going to be able to control himself. And so it was just very important that he had his crewmates tie him to the mast, no matter what he said or did, that they had to keep him there. And so philosophers help us understand human nature and understand ourselves. And then when we marry that with our seminal experiences in our lives, I think that not only can we become better investors, but we can tend to focus on what's important in life to lead a more wealthy life.
There probably are times when we need to be tied to that mast. In fact, you described what you do as we help save people from themselves.
Right. That is such an important component, I think, as I have navigated the turbulent waters of various economic cycles and political cycles, financial markets, and we're in real estate, so that obviously is cyclical itself. And one of the things that I guess benefits us to some degree is many of our investments, or all of our investments, are illiquid. And the one thing that people, you know, the benefits of the liquid markets and the easily tradable markets are there's very little transaction costs, but it's so easy to kind of get scared out of a position or into a position. Mm-hmm. Whereas with us, the investors tend to realize that they'd probably be better off if they delegated that to us. And they'll invest their money in real estate, and hopefully we'll make less emotional, more rational decisions. And if we can navigate the ups and downs and have the staying power, when all is said and done, typically it works out pretty well in the end. And so we're able to, as I said, sort of take that help people so that they're not their own worst enemies, if that makes sense.
Sure. Now, we talk about, and you talk about, philosophers in the book, but really there's quite a bit of time spent on someone who folks may not consider much of a philosopher necessarily, Charlie Munger. In fact, some folks may not even know Charlie Munger, but we've all heard of Warren Buffett. And Charlie Munger works right alongside Warren Buffett. And you've spent a fair amount of time in the book talking about something that you refer to as the Munger moment. What is that?
Yeah, Charlie Munger is Warren Buffett's partner in Berkshire Hathaway. I think he's 91 or 92, and still as intellectually strong as ever, really quite a brilliant thinker. And he said something once, a fairly lengthy quote, but it was to the effect that among there are certain events in one's lifetime, and they're not many, but if you're able to put yourself in a position to recognize when the odds are considerably in your favor, in other words, where the rewards dramatically outweigh the risk, and you are able to come to that conclusion because you have a curious mind that is always searching and analyzing and looking at multiple variables, and if you combine that with a degree of patience, so when everyone else is getting into the fray and jumping in at the top, and then they realize that the bubble has burst and they have to sell, and you've sat back and you have the resources available because of your patience and prudence, and you recognize that the odds are incredibly in your favor, then all you need is the courage to pull the trigger. And if you can match the courage with the analysis and the capital, then you just need a few of those ideas in a lifetime. And what he says is you can change the financial rewards of a lifetime. And in the book, I talk about some examples of that from, you know, our business experience. And then actually in one's, you know, personal life, I have found that you can have a Munger moment. I mean, maybe the person you marry turns out to be this incredible partner, and you make a life-changing, you know, partnership that really just creates incredible results and a really meaningful and happy life. So that's kind of what I mean by a Munger moment.
That Munger moment that you've described sounds very different from what so many investors hear of diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Be very much aware of risk. This almost sounds like a fairly risky proposition. Find your moment and wait for the right opportunity to come along, and then go in big.
Yeah, you know, there are people that say, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket very carefully. And of course, that's not without risk. But I know Stanley Druckenmiller, who was a partner of George Soros, said the thing that he learned from Soros was not the intellectual ideas in terms of the investment insights. It was when you have the reward dramatically outweigh the risk, he said, go for the jugular. And it's when you put your resources to something that you feel the odds are so overwhelmingly in your favor, and you need to know it. I wouldn't suggest it for everybody. But if you know something so well and you have such a good intuitive feel for it, then that's how you're going to make a difference. And I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I know for us that has made a big difference in our financial outcomes for our investors when we have seen something so favorable and we've loaded the boat.
What does Munger do to prepare for that moment?
A curious mind invested in many different disciplines, psychology, philosophy, history, accounting, economics, studying different business models, profit models, understanding, you know, some macro forces at times, and very much understanding human behavior. And so knowing when people have severely misjudged situations and now their backs are against the wall, and that is the time to either load the boat, or conversely, if people are so optimistic and so greedy, that's the time to lighten the load. So I think it's really studying, you know, human nature and understanding business particularly well.
So it takes quite a bit of preparation and evaluation. It also takes some patience, doesn't it? Not to jump too fast.
It does. Warren Buffett has said one piece of advice he would give to graduating business school students would be, think of your investment decisions as if you only had a punch card that allowed you 10 decisions to be made in life vis-a-vis your investments. You would be very patient before you would use up each of those punches. And so if you think of it as something that let the market come to you, or let the opportunity come to you, versus you trying to force something, it could be very, very beneficial.
And then, of course, the courage to actually take action when action is required. That's easier said than done.
Yes, it really is, because it's we're just subjected to those forces at the bottom. There's so much negativity and so much fear that's pervasive, and you feel like you're just this island in a hostile sea if you decide to jump in and make an investment. So it's important to remain independent in one's thinking, not to be swayed by all of the 24/7 news cycle, and to really take a step back, reflect, respond versus react. And yes, you have to have the courage, because ideas are a dime a dozen. It's actually acting on those ideas that can make the difference.
Another way that you've referred to the Munger moment is a tectonic shift, or shift with an F, let me be clear. Shift happens. How do we really recognize that? Is it a kind of a shining light, eureka moment?
Well, I define a tectonic shift as something that changes the trajectory of a business, an industry, or a personal life. And from our experience, we are in the apartment business, so we buy and build and refurbish apartment communities around the country. Mm-hmm. So for us, it came to light that we all know what happened with the subprime debacle in home ownership and the incredible emphasis that we had in this country on promoting home ownership and to a really unhealthy degree. And so when that bubble burst, we knew that housing or home ownership was what got us into the problem, and it was not going to get us out of the mess. We were overowned, and we believed that renting was actually the solution, that people needed flexible housing choices. They needed to build and rebuild their credit and go to where the jobs were. And so that was a very important tectonic shift. And, you know, there have been, you know, 9/11 was another one, you know, the Great Depression and what happened after that. So these are things that have just permanently altered the course of history, I guess.
And as you look at how it changes, how does that equate to profits? And give us an example from your own experiences at CWS.
Well, we were, so in the wake of the Great Recession, the capital markets were freezing up, banks were contracting, they weren't lending, and you know there was just a terrible mess in the global economy. And we looked at that, and we had to manage our portfolio to kind of solve a few problems, but at the same time we thought this was a tectonic shift, and we had to position ourselves to not just be defensive but to go on the offense. And we knew that once the economy started to improve and households started to form again, that renting or apartments would capture a disproportionate share of housing formation. So we went to our investors and we started accumulating capital to go out and buy apartment communities in growing markets that we thought would be first in the recovery. So we were pretty active in Texas, for example. Mm-hmm. And so we married that capital with loans that we were able to access from you know, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, because banks were not lending. And we also knew because banks weren't lending, there would be no new supply of apartments to speak of after we got through this kind of current wave, that developers weren't able to get financing. So you had this very, very powerful supply and demand imbalance that was forming. And we decided to very aggressively go after buying and building apartment communities. And the thing that we did that was maybe a little counterintuitive is we borrowed using variable rate loans rather than fixed rate. And this was at a time where people were worried about the deficit and inflation running amok, and they thought that interest rates would rise, and we had the exact opposite opinion. And so that really paid off for us. It was the combination of the asset class we invested in and how we financed it produced really terrific returns.
We're talking with Gary Carmel. He is the president of CWS Capital Partners, and he is the author of a new book, The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. The Philosophical Investor. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. My Money Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking today with Gary Carmel, the author of a new book, The Philosophical Investor, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. The Philosophical Investor. We've been talking about Munger moments, and you've described how you applied it in your own business at CWS Capital Partners, which is a real estate investment firm. But when you identify this unique opportunity, you've prepared, you've analyzed, you hopefully have patiently built up your capital to be ready for that moment. But there's no guarantees. Have you had a time when this has failed?
Well, we have had challenging times, in my nearly 30 years here, where the economy turned down and the investments didn't perform, as expected. So, but what I guess I would say is, the few times that we really felt like the odds were tremendously in our favor, and another time was in the late 80s, early 90s, when the RTC was created and we had the whole SNL debacle, mm-hmm. We felt like that was a very similar set of circumstances. So I would say probably not, because when capital has exited an industry and there's no new supply being created and you feel like it doesn't take much demand to stimulate income growth, you've lessened a lot of the risk, and all you need is a little patience. It's not going to necessarily happen, the first year you buy something, but we feel in the, first 2 or 3 years, they generally tend to materialize. So, yeah.
We've talked about Charlie Munger. Most people do not consider Munger necessarily a philosopher. Tell us about some of the other philosophers in the book and some of the key points that you've pulled from them. And you really have a fairly broad definition of philosophers for this book, everything from Schopenhauer and Aristotle to Bob Dylan.
Right. Schopenhauer is a very important figure in the book. One of his most important quotes that I cite is, he said, "The task at hand is not to see what no one else sees, but to think what no one else thinks about that which everyone sees." So in other words, if people are all looking at the same thing and thinking the same thing, then the opportunity is to think a little differently. And if your analysis is correct, that's where some really extraordinary opportunities for money making can occur. And then I have a whole chapter on Shakespeare and what I've learned from him. And, he has a great quote. Well, he has so many, when clouds appear, wise men put on their cloaks. So just look ahead a little bit and try to see where the storm clouds might be forming. Bob Dylan said, "He not busy being born is busy dying." So we really kind of need to be focused on recreating ourselves and just staying current, keeping that edge, because if you're not busy being born, you're busy dying. It's kind of a, one or the other. And so, I tap into a lot of different folks like that.
So a little bit of literature from the bard himself, a little bit of music, which might fall under the realm of poetry, mixed in with some of the well-known philosophers as well.
Yeah, I would just add one more thing. There's a whole chapter that I call the Lola Economy, which is based on the Kink song Lola.
Right.
And it talks about the whole subprime crisis, how it lured people in and made them think they were on this road to easy wealth creation by giving them loans with no money down, and it turned out to be kind of this whole fake and fraudulent system. And there's a lot of parallels to the song Lola. It's kind of an entertaining chapter.
Yes, indeed. Entertaining book, The Philosophical Investor. The Philosophical Investor by Gary Carmel, Transforming Wisdom into Wealth. The Philosophical Investor. A lot of fun. And Gary, we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sinclair. It was my pleasure.